Good afternoon. Welcome once again to Line 1, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard. My guests today are Kelly Donnelly. She's the executive director of the Stone Soup Group and a parent navigator named Barbara Chambers. Our topic is the Stone Soup Group and what it represents and Alaska resources for families with children and adolescents with disabilities. You can reach us with any question or comments you'd like to make today by calling us locally in Anchorage at 550-8433. That's 550-8433, our toll-free number, for those of you who need that, is 1-888-353-5752, and you can email us during the program at a new email address, line1@alaskapublic.org. That's line one, spell it out, at alaskapublic.org. Kelly and Barbara, welcome to Line 1.
Thanks for having us, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you.
So this is the first time for both of you and the first time we've talked about the Stone Soup Group. Let's talk about that organization first. Tell us a little bit about the history.
Sure. Stone Soup Group is coming up on its 20th anniversary next year, and it was founded by a group of parents of kids with complex medical needs, some individuals from the state of Alaska who had concerns about that group, and the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And really the goal was to try and find a way to connect families with services so kids weren't having to be flown out of state for basic services and families kind of torn asunder by the effort to try and get basic medical needs for kids whose medical needs might be a little bit different than the average child who comes into the world.
Yeah, certainly our healthcare system is fractionated, and I think of the Stone Soup Group as being a place where I can go, our office can go, our parents can go to find out what's available in the state. Is that also a way to describe this function?
I think that's a great way of describing it. Sometimes people call us connectors. The services that we provide really are more linking families with different providers or community-based services than they are providing a service directly to families themselves.
Although you do provide some services,
yes,
which
we do.
We'll get into.
Yes, we do.
Barb, what's a parent navigator?
Parent navigator is, for the most part, a parent or family member of a child or youth who experiences some sort of difference, disability, different abledness, who has been on the journey and understands it from that perspective and works with families directly to help support, whether it's listening and whether it is helping to assess where they possibly are on the journey, what supports and services they're currently connected to, and what else might be available to them that they're not aware of.
And what brought you specifically to Stone Soup Group?
Also, I have a child who has a cognitive impairment. She's absolutely delightful, but I actually used the service when she was young. She's 14 now. Mm-hmm. Called and had a wonderful interaction, and at some point was ready to give back and have been there for 5 years.
Yeah. So another problem with our healthcare system, because there's multiple providers, there's multiple payers, there's multiple this, there's multiple that, there's not a one place serves all kind of problem. And so it's not uncommon for me to deal with a patient, which we may use some examples of in the near future, with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or some cognitive delays or fetal alcohol syndrome or something. And none of us know exactly how to get started in this. So I have always thought the idea of some organization like yours is extremely helpful. The problem is I'm not sure enough people understand what you do and what all the services that you do. Do you find that true?
You know, that's why we're so grateful to be on the show today. A couple of years ago, Stone Soup's administrative offices moved to this terrific location on Northern Lights in Denali, and we have this big green sign, and it makes it really easy for families to find us in the Anchorage area. However, it's also grown this group of people who think that we're a soup kitchen, and mm-hmm. we connect mm-hmm. people with a lot of different resources, including food
soup
banks, but yeah. That's not necessarily who we are. Mm-hmm. So we organize our services kind of around five main programs. So we have what's called the Parent Training and Information Center, which is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Education and the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. With that program, we provide support, assistance, training, coaching, information to parents of kids in special education from birth through age 26. We also have the Institute for Positive Behavioral Support, which has been a part of Stone Soup Group for almost as long as Stone Soup's been around, because the request that parents so often have for assistance when they come to Stone Soup is around difficult behaviors that their kids have. So we provide training and technical assistance to families, to professionals working with kids, and to the general public around positive behavioral interventions and supports, and are looking forward to being able to provide some limited services around ABA in the near future. We have our family support program, which is sort of a conglomeration of projects that provide direct assistance to families. That includes the short-term assistance and referral program under the state's developmental disabilities program. It includes our family-to-family health information center, which is broader than disabilities, but still a place for families to come to when they're looking for information that might not be readily accessible about a unique diagnosis. And our military family support program we are funded by the Administration of Developmental Disabilities to support families on Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson, but we also support military families across the state. Mm-hmm. We have our fetal alcohol spectrum disorder parent support program and our autism family support center. So we've got five main programs. As Barb alluded to, we've got a lot of parents who work in those programs who have been down that journey, and there is really nothing more powerful for a new parent, particularly the parents who come to us who might be really befuddled and in crisis at that moment, to hear how that journey can be successful or manageable from another parent who's walked the path already.
Yeah, especially with new diagnoses, it's overwhelming. But it's overwhelming just to cope with the new diagnosis when it's first born. And then comes the realization that, how am I going to get services? How am I going to make sure I'm getting the right services? Where are those services? How are we going to pay for those services?
Exactly.
So it gets overwhelming very quickly. I mean, to me, this, and again, I don't want to oversell this idea, but it is a one-stop shop to answer most of those questions, which are almost inevitable. I mean, there are those parents out there who are do-it-themselvesers, but it takes a lot of time, and even those, I think, could benefit from the experience, because I'm assuming all your parent navigators have had children with needs that have led them to realize this service is very important.
Children or family members, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's got to be just overwhelming at times.
It is, and raising a child or a youth that has a developmental disability or a medical condition, I think families cycle through grief. So it's not a one-time grief, oh, we have a diagnosis, we need to mourn this and move on. That grief comes up, and just as challenges and obstacles and new understandings of what this different life looks like all through the life cycle. So it's not that we maybe just work with a family one time or that they have questions one time. Mm-hmm. And quite often families will call and they may have one question, but they really don't know all even the questions that they would like to have answered. And mm-hmm. So that's where you're talking to somebody and it's a flow of conversation. And sometimes they walk away going, oh my gosh, I never thought I would even have, be able to access that information. So
let me remind our listeners, we're talking about the Stone Soup Group and what it does, and it is very helpful for families who have children with special needs or disabilities. You can get their email address by going to our web address and our website. It has the link there, a number that you can use to call the Stone Soup Group to make contact is 561-3701. That's 561-3701. That's a local number. If you've got questions or comments, this is a perfect time to take advantage of us. We'll be here for the next hour slightly before 2. The program will re-air tonight as a taped rebroadcast between 7 and 8, but there won't be any opportunity to answer questions at that time. Our local number again, 550-8433. That's 550-8433, our toll-free number 1-888-353-5752. And our email address is new, line1@alaskapublic.org. So it sounds like almost anybody who lives in Alaska can take advantage of your services.
We sure hope more people across the state would. In addition to our offices in Anchorage, which have, now I'm going to stop and count, I think 6 parent navigators available locally, we have regional parent navigators in Kiana in the Northwest Arctic, a couple in Fairbanks, in Sitka, Juneau, Delta Junction, Soldotna, Bethel, and out in the Mat-Su Valley. And as Barb has said, all of these are people who have walked this path in the past and are bringing not only some professional training and experience, but also their personal experiences in navigating the services in that particular region.
How about funding? I always ask where funding comes from, and then inevitably the issue of cost comes up. How do people who are taking advantage of your services pay for the services?
I think that's a great question. The people who take advantage of most of our services don't pay. Most of our funding comes through either state or federal grants or through fee-for-service contracts and donations. Stone Soup Group is a nonprofit organization, and we just finished a fundraiser over the weekend in conjunction with the National Epilepsy Foundation to raise awareness and provide some resources and training for people across the state around epilepsy and first responder training.
You also had tried to get on the program, and I have to admit we weren't able to accommodate you in April because you were about to put on a statewide conference. Let's talk about the purpose of the conference, what you why you put it on, and maybe some summary of the important issues that came out of that conference as well.
The purpose of the conference, which was supported by the U.S. Department of Education and the State Department of Education, was to provide some really specific information to parents and youth around special education processes, rights, responsibilities, and resources they have available to them. One of the real purposes, however, was to give parents across the state the opportunity to connect with one another. The content is really important. The content certainly, if somebody really wanted, I think as Barb already alluded to, you could get on the web. Some of those parents who really are sort of the do-it-yourselfers, they're going to find the information on the web. But that opportunity to interact with other people, maybe your child is the only one in your community with Prader-Willi, and you don't know what that journey looks like. So the ability to spend time with somebody else who has had those experiences and kind of trade resources and strategies were critically important. Barb, do you want to add anything about...
I think families just were so grateful for the opportunity. There were many families that have never been to a conference. We work with a lot of people from all different ethnic backgrounds and socioeconomical diversity that would never be able to afford an opportunity like that. And there was no charge. And they were ecstatic. It was like so much information. Then we had breakout sessions. And, you know, they had a difficult time choosing between what they wanted to go because it was all so powerful for them. It was really well attended. And I just heard nothing but gratitude for the opportunity.
I've been involved in a little bit of parent education in my 30 years in practice, but a lot with children with asthma. And one of the things that I always noted and thought was most beneficial about camps was that children suddenly realized they weren't the only one that had this problem or had it to this degree. And I use the not a very good example, but I say there's always a faster gun. You think you got a bad problem, then you meet. So it does help put things in perspective, and people then who have similar issues have much more to talk about. And I think it is helpful to a large degree when you get individuals that have common concerns or problems together.
And we're hoping that one of the outcomes of the conference is that those parents exchanged enough contact information that they can stay in touch with one another. We'll offer another parent conference in 2013. It's kind of a labor-intensive, spendy proposition, so we can't do it every year. Yeah. So we're looking at doing it every other year. And hopefully it'll be twice as big and as equally impactful to the families who participated.
Okay. Audrey, you're on line one. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I'm a nursing student at UA here in town, and I was just interested in other challenges besides obtaining resources, abilities that maybe these families had. And also I was wondering if Stone Soup Group works with schools at all. Like, do they have any kind of connection in that way? About it.
Okay.
I'll talk about school first very briefly. The PTI, which is the Parent Training Information Center, works with families who have children enrolled or have special education concerns, kind of helping families, parents, caregivers navigate the education system, the IEP, which is an individual educational plan. The special education process can be really overwhelming for parents. We do work with the schools in that way, generally as advocates with the families, helping to model advocacy. We have a really good working relationship with Anchorage School District here in Anchorage. And we also do some training on twice a month. We have an Aspire training for anybody in the community, and quite often teachers and educators will attend that. And it's called the Aspire training, but really it's all about special education and all those good juicy laws and what parents can expect and a chance for them to bring questions.
And I think another way that Stone Soup works with school districts across the state is that we are one of the entities that helps provide some training and technical assistance to educators, particularly in the smaller districts around positive behavioral interventions and supports, as well as person-centered planning and some issues around, I'm trying to make sure that we get the correct federal language, evidence-based research practices. That's one of our tasks. So I think, as Barb said, we have a good working relationship with the Anchorage School District and with many of the districts around the state.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it's developing that relationship with one special educator who can really be the champion for a kiddo and making sure that he or she gets what he needs to reach their academic goals.
Great. Thank you so much. That was excellent to hear.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Audrey.
Bye.
One thing I forgot to mention that may help a little bit and clarify the confusion about you guys being a soup kitchen is, what is the name, or where did the name Stone Soup Group come from?
It comes from the old children's fable. And any of the listeners who were scouts probably made stone soup in a Cub Scout or Brownie Scout activity. A stranger comes to a community and is hungry, and the rest of the community is kind of hoarding their resources. And the stranger says, well, I can make soup out of a stone. Do you think you could throw in a carrot? So you get one person who throws in a carrot, and then somebody else throws in a potato, and somebody throws in an onion. And pretty soon you've got this rich, wonderful, nourishing broth. And that's kind of the analogy for stone soup, which is kind of consistent with that connector sort of visual. One person at the organization or one person in the community, it's really tough to meet a family's needs. But if we can connect the group of us together around a family to develop circles of support, it's going to be a much easier experience for that family.
And you also have multiple people with individual experiences with this whole system, and it brings back. So I think it's a great name and a great analogy, and it has nothing to do with being a soup kitchen. So we got to get that off of people. It's a place to go if you've got questions about kids that have special needs. In adolescence, up through adolescence.
That's right. Actually, up through age 26.
Okay. Which is another important transition. In my practice now, I'm having kids grow up, and one, it's hard to get them out of my practice because there's just a limited number of physicians to see them, but there are probably just as few of services for those kids that are getting out of the school system, it appears to me, or at least we need to be better at using Stone Soup Group to help us find those services. Give us an example. I'm thinking of a family I know that has a child who has significant cerebral palsy and some developmental delays, and once he leaves high school, what do you do? He can't take care of himself. Family still needs to work. Mm-hmm. For example, that's mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. of my.
Well, there is. For youth that qualify, there's the Medicaid waivers, and which is designed to help with. And actually, there's extended high school as well. And during the ACT, it's called an ACT. There's an ACT and an ACE program. And basically, those are teaching life skills so that kiddos can become as independent as possible. It's less focused on academics, more focused on adaptive living skills, if you will. Maybe how to use the bus, or with working on with DVR, finding a job coach, finding what a youth might be able to do. There is no magic bullet. Absolutely. And it does take quite a bit to get those systems in place. A lot of work kind of designing, but if a youth has a Medicaid waiver, chances are they're going to find some sort of semi-independent housing, depending on the needs that they'll be working towards moving into. There's a lot of layers.
And I think that the issue that you raised, Dr. Woodard, really is one that people are feeling the ripple effects across the state. And because of the concerns that parents have brought to us over the years, we are going to be kicking off the first of next month a transition center that will be guided by the voices of parents and youth who are most directly affected. For so many families, the primary provider for kids with complex needs early on is that school system. And when a child gets ready to finish their school years, and those extended year programs are available in all districts, not just the Anchorage district, but becomes kind of a shock and a quandary for parents. What are they going to do in terms of helping that individual make sure that they have a rich, fulfilling life? The folks at the Division of Oak Rehab are absolutely adamant about making sure that we set an expectation for employment, regardless of what employment might look like, so that we can help build circles of support around kids so that they can transition out of a school-based or provider-driven program into more community-based settings in terms of living, being an informed health consumer, managing one's care, and having a vocational future that's something that you get some personal gratification from.
You mentioned just once again that you're listening to Line One, and our topic today is the Stone Soup Group and what this organization does. And in particular, what it does is it offers a one-stop shop for information about resources in Alaska for families and children with adolescents with disabilities or special needs. It's rather all-encompassing. It's a great place to first go when you have questions in this area. And if you've got comments or questions, we have two guests from the Stone Soup Group with me today, Kelly Donnelly, the executive director, and one of the parent navigators, Barbara Chambers. You can reach us at 550-8433. That's our local number, 550-8433. Our toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752. And our email address at line1@alaskapublic.org. We've mentioned some legal aspects of this, so I've got a question down that is, what is the federal special education law? How well is it followed in various states, and in particularly Anchorage and our state? Is that the right question to ask, and what's the answer, if it is?
Let me preface this by saying we don't give legal advice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to point people to the legal answers here in a second, but tell us about this.
Sure.
This.
What you're referring to is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, most recently reauthorized in 2008. It's the federal law that governs what public education is supposed to be doing in terms of providing access to curriculum and educational outcomes for children who fall into a number of different academic diagnostic areas, if you will. It's what enables a school district to coordinate physical therapy, for example, for a child who has CP, for in the example that you gave. It provides early intervention services. Those really nice women who go to your house when you've got a kiddo who's born with some interesting things going on, that lady who comes to your house to work with you and the kiddo, that falls under IDEA as early interventions, or what's called Part C services. Every child who is found to be eligible for special education gets what's called an individualized education plan, in which the parent and the school and the kiddo and whatever professionals or supports the parent might want to identify, they determine what the goals are going to be for that child and how those goals are going to be achieved. Now, that sounds all kind of lofty and wonderful. It's one of those areas that ends up in court an awful lot of the times, because there are big parts of it that are open to interpretation.
Sure.
Districts and parents often don't see eye to eye about what a free and appropriate education might be mean.
What's the appropriate amount of therapy? Exactly. Difficult one, because the parents have a bias in one direction and the school district is another. And even if the school district is correct by saying there's no evidence to support this, they also have this issue of cost.
Exactly.
Which the parents do also. But they're really being driven by making sure they do everything they can for their child.
There are an awful lot of pressures in the equation.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we try and work with parents on is to develop positive collaborative partnerships with their schools, using kind of the visual that you're in this marriage with the school for as long as your kid is there. Mm-hmm. And you can either fight the whole time and it be really miserable for both of you, or you can find a way to make this marriage work and communicate respectfully with one another, even if you don't always agree. Mm-hmm. And Barb, I have to say, is one of our exceptional parent navigators at helping to set that tone and work through some pretty tough times with parents. There are opportunities for parents if they feel like they can't work effectively with the school district. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Disability Law Center can come in.
Okay. Should we mention the Disability Law Center right now before we take a break?
Sure.
And it's we have a link on our website. And the purpose of the Disability Law Center is?
They are the protection and advocacy organization for Alaska. All states are supposed to have one. They have branch offices in Anchorage, Fairbanks, I want to say Bethel.
Bethel's closed. Juneau,
that's the third one. And they have individuals who have special expertise around disabilities and including the IDEA.
So when you really do need that specific legal advice, there is, and is that also free?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And there's also a step before disability law, which is mediation services.
Okay.
We have all districts across Alaska have access to a neutral Alaska Mediation Services with a couple of fantastic people that are retired special education professionals. And if the district and the family are willing to agree to try mediation, it can quite often be very successful.
Mm-hmm. We didn't address the question of how well our state does, or our school system, I guess I should say, in meeting these requirements. My impression is, and I'm just asking this to get maybe your general feeling, is that we do a pretty doggone good job compared to other states.
We do. In terms of how the federal entities review us, Alaska does a very fine job. Mm-hmm. We still have a lot of progress that we need to make in terms of making sure that kids have equal opportunities and have access to meaningful education more than just music and PE. But Alaska is far and away ahead of many, many states.
All right, we're going to take a short break. I want to remind our listeners once again, you're listening to Line 1, your health connection. Our local number is 550-8433. It's 550-8433. Our toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752. And our email address is a new one, line1@alaskapublic.org. After this break, we'll continue to take any calls and emails and talk with Kelly Donnelly, Executive Director of the Stone Soup Group, and Barbara Chambers, who's a parent navigator with this organization. Our topic is the Stone Soup Group and what it does, and some information about Alaska resources for families with children and adolescents with disabilities. You're listening to Line 1. I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard.
You're listening to Line 1, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Line 1, your health connection, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Line 1, your health connection on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back. You're listening to Line 1, your health connection, and I'm your host, Dr. Thad Woodard. My guest today is Kelly Donnelly, Executive Director of the Stone Soup Group, and Barbara Chambers, who is a parent navigator with this organization. And we're talking about the Stone Soup Group and the resources it provides regarding all of Alaska's resources for families and children, families with children and adolescents with disabilities and special needs. You can email any question that you have to us over the next 30 minutes or so at line1@alaskapublic.org. You can call us directly at 550-8433, and our toll-free number is 1-888-353-5752. And please remember, if you're listening tonight to Line 1, you're listening to a taped rebroadcast, and we won't be able to answer any questions at that particular time. What percentage, have you done any way of looking at of patients or parents that have children with special needs are aware of or have taken advantage of your organization? I'm guessing it's the minority in myself, and that there's a big need for more and more people to be aware of you and to, even if they are aware, to remember to take advantage of you. But do you have any idea about
how, you know, how I don't works? Have hard numbers
yep.
for that, Dr. Woodard. I would, my guesstimate based on the data that we've got available is probably about a third of the families who could benefit from what we do mm-hmm. actually make a connection with us.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mm-hmm. feel like yeah. about your experience, Barb?
I would say I would agree.
Yeah.
In our busy months, it's not uncommon to have, you know, 300 to 400 contacts with families. It's not always new families, but uh-huh. ongoing families, walk-ins, coming in, picking up an issue, you know, having just all those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real downer for me. I mean, to recognize this is a very, very useful and needed organization. It does a very good job at what their purpose is. So we want to make sure people are aware, and I'd like you to share this information. And remember that if you want to hear the program again, all you got to do is go to KSK Line 1 on their website. You can actually listen to this program at any time. If you even go to something like iTunes and put in Line 1, it's there to be heard in the future. So there's a lot of important bits of information that may be useful to people that you know who have not taken advantage of services like this and need that. But to expand on helping people understand what you're doing, let me play a little scenario here of a couple of patients that I can envision are useful in my prior experience or my previous experiences with children, and how you might help these families. So one common one would be a diagnosis of Down syndrome, often made in the nursery. Often within minutes of a child's birth, sometimes even maybe before birth. And this young child with Down syndrome has a heart defect that's going to need some surgery. The questions I might have is, how are the parents are going to respond? How do they be helped with their grieving and coping, particularly with medical issues such as the diagnosis? And there are inevitable questions about what's the long-term outcome for this. And then later is this issue of, how am I going to pay for all of this?
Well, I guess, you know, initially, they are sort of, if this is a newborn, there's what we kind of refer to as the medical home involved. So initially, there's a lot of specialists. They're getting their information generally from medical professionals, specialists in the field. Stone Soup Group certainly, that you know, would be happy to help families like this with general support. Again, at hospitals, they do have some of that built in. where we are also with help with transportation. When kiddos do end up going to the Children's in Seattle or Shriners or something, quite often, you know, there's a huge cost associated with visits back and forth, and there are some funding that Stone Soup Group can help families access, find. Quite often with families like this, where they turn to us in a big way is when the crisis of the health, immediate medical crisis is over, and then they start looking ahead. We can make sure that they're connected to the infant learning program, birth to three, that, you know, helping them understand what resources are available in the community for therapies, helping them make a transition into the school setting. You know, there's a Down syndrome support group, if you will. You know, so basically it's having conversations with the families to really see what their questions are, what their needs are. We can, you know, certainly all ask questions. Do you know, are you aware of this? You know, has your child, you know, at this point in the process become certified as disabled with the state of Alaska? Here's what that, you know, why you would want to do that, how it might benefit you. So we kind of go through this line of questioning.
And I think it looks even on a more personal side, our parent navigators, it's not uncommon for them to be going to the physician's appointment with the parents to be that external brain, because so often, and I'm sure maybe some of the listeners may have had this experience, you hear one thing that a doctor or professional says and your head kind of gets stuck there and you don't hear the rest of it. So having a parent navigator there to help model what that relationship can look like, to be an external brain, to help make sure that the questions that the parent and the parent navigator have discussed before the appointment are actually addressed, to make sure that the parent knows how to tap into the resource. I'm thinking about some of our parents of babies who are born with clefting issues, and our parent navigators get really involved in that relationship to make sure that the kiddo can go home and thrive, and that mom's got the tools that she needs to be able to feed her baby well.
Barb, you mentioned the infant learning program. Could you describe what the infant learning program is?
The infant learning program is funded by Part C of IDEA. It is a statewide program designed to offer families with children that meet the eligibility criteria in-home support. It's a family-centered care. It differs from the school setting, which is a child-centered focus. Infant learning is family-centered. They offer physical therapy, occupational therapy. It really, when I received visits in my home from infant learning when my daughter was little, it was like a godsend to just have this sort of angel show up and kind of work in my setting of, you know, all the particulars around, you know, giving her the best start. And I think that's what it's designed, is to those critical years, that birth to three, where that development is key.
I may be wrong about this, but I also think that certainly I'm not wrong about the importance of the early years as being important. This is when that brain is developed. This is where this hardwiring is going down. Nothing is happening as fast, and there's pruning of new neurons. We know you're losing neurons now, but you're making more and more connections, and your brain's getting 80% of your adult head size in the first 2 years. So it's a very important time. But the point I wanted to make is, it seems to me I remember reading that the most important variable in predicting outcome for children with special needs is what that family understands about the needs of that child. It's not how much therapy, how much physical therapy, how much occupational therapy, how much speech therapy, because they're only going to be there a limited number of times. Doesn't matter how many times you want to pay for it. It's does that family echo that learning on a regular daily basis? So that's what's nice to me about the home-based programs.
Right.
And you mentioned the eligibility, and I don't want people to have the idea that it's eligibility based on income. It's eligibility based on need.
Right.
Of disability.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Disability or delay.
Okay. Jerry, you're on line one. What can we do for you?
Hi. First of all, I want to thank the Stone Soup Group. I've worked with them personally, and they really have helped. I'm a retired special ed teacher. And the one thing that I wanted to bring up about this is the IEP that all of these students have when they're in school. It's an individual education plan, and in all honesty, it sounds really good because it's an individual education plan and it's supposed to meet the needs of the student. But most often what happens is you really can't write an IEP, a functional IEP that's going to address a lot of students' needs, because a lot of those needs are driven by physical therapists who come once a week or OTs that come every other day or something like that. So this child might need physical therapy every day, but realistically they can't get it. And so I guess what I'm saying is that to be true to the IEP process, it just seems to me that we can't really deliver all the services we really need if we're going to make it an individual plan. Is that making sense?
It does make sense, and I hear what you're saying. This is Barb. I think, you know, it comes down to, again, that free and appropriate education. I think of the related services in the school setting as more, academic, educational-based. I think, you know, that there are children and youth that could benefit from physical therapy, occupational therapy, you know, 3 to 5 times a week. The school districts don't have the resources for that, and so I think that the objective and the intention and the outcomes that we're looking for is to provide the best, devise the best goals,
right,
based on that free and appropriate education. You know, what can be provided and how that looks in tying that in.
Right, exactly. I see what you're saying. It's really difficult to provide all the needs for all the kids. I understand that.
Jerry, this is Kelly. And one of the things that I think might be a useful example for all of us and those who are listening is to maybe think about how the Infant Learning Program of Alaska is looking at delivering services to families in rural communities. Certainly, we can't have a developmental specialist in every single community who might benefit from one. But what they are doing is developing a process where they are training individuals in each of those communities to deliver on the plan and then are supervised by that developmental specialist. So ideally, yes, we would want to have that ILP teacher delivering the services themselves on a regular basis. But short of that, if we can have somebody else who's trained and well supervised to support the parents and to deliver a paraprofessional level of service, then that's one way that we can start bridging that gap between the goals.
Yeah,
but yeah, there are communities in the state where kids struggle to access speech, language supports, OT, PT, and the like.
Well, I think maybe just the one thing that I'm trying to get across is the fact that ultimately, just like most things, money drives the IEP, because, you know, districts have only so much money, so they can't hire, you know, enough OTs or PT or whatever. So I think it's also a money issue, but isn't everything.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it would seem to me both sides of this IEP, the family and the school district, both need to be aware of that. And you have to make some compromise. You have to do the best you can, and you certainly want to be using the services that have evidence that they work. And that's something I was glad to hear that the Stone Soup Group is recognized of, because, you know, the families want a lot of stuff and it's reasonable for them to ask for that. But there's a limited pot of money for every one of us, and our healthcare system is doing a very damn good job of getting rid of all of that money. So we all have to be asking ourselves, what's the most cost-effective way to get what we want out of these things?
I got you.
Yep.
Well, thank you. The only other thing I'd like to say is that it's time that, you know, that we get rid of the word mentally retarded in the special ed language.
Well, actually, Jerry, it is gone.
Yeah, I know. It finally did, and it's going to take a while to spread through the whole thing. But
it is going to take a while. I noticed that the waiver is still called the MRDD waiver, which is, but the certification in the school setting in Alaska is now, it's no longer MR. It is CI. So it's there's a little variance from state to state. This is cognitive impairment. Some places it's ID, intellectual disability.
Right.
But it is a much more respectful language.
Yeah,
and it's near and dear to all of our hearts. Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for calling. Mm-hmm. Well, before we came on the air, you wanted to also make sure that people understood that you're not just about autism, which we haven't spoken a lot about, or fetal alcohol. You had the concerns that other than being a stone or a soup kitchen, that people were worried that all you did was autism and fetal alcohol, which are extremely important issues today. I'm not denigrating that at all.
Prevalent.
But it is, you all are involved in more than that, and hopefully people are hearing that message.
I hope so. And we have been involved in fetal alcohol spectrum disorders for, gosh, I want to say 15 years now. And it is the leading cause of mental retardation or cognitive impairments in Alaska. It's completely preventable. And Alaska, of all the states that collect data on prevalence, Alaska leads in those states. So those are some things that we don't necessarily want to be first in. Autism, we are a state that receives some funding through the Combating Autism Act and are really building some interesting infrastructure around training professionals and providing resources for families. People still struggle trying to figure out or get their heads around why their child may have this diagnosis, and there is that ongoing, particularly with kids on the Asperger's end of the autism spectrum, that overlap between mental health and disability service systems that's sometimes complex for families.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the psychological services. I mean, there's this coping and grieving. Then there's the children themselves, as they might recognize that they're different. Any chronic disease carries its own problems. Then there's kids entering school and how other kids are interacting with them. It's a huge issue, and one that is underappreciated, I think, by those who do funding. I've always wondered why we don't have more psychological insurance and less healthcare insurance. I've said that in the past. I wondered if we wouldn't be better off. But can you help families directly and or get them to services that they may not otherwise be aware of as well?
We certainly get a lot of individualized questions related to both, you know, to all disabilities because of the prevalence of autism and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders and how different that can look from individual to individual. Both of those are big spectrums. So, you know, it really is on an individual basis. And there are certain, there's certain diagnostic criteria that's more helpful than others. There's, again, you know, a lot of different, it's so case by case.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can understand that. And speaking about the case by case, I want to get back to the cost issues. I have no idea, personally, as a physician, all the different options out there, what Medicaid does, what exclusions are, and all that. So it is also another area, it would seem to me, that you all are very beneficial, is helping families understand all the options for health care, whether they have health insurance privately
right.
or not.
Right. We do work with families a lot around that issue. If families qualify for Denali Kid Care, we make sure that, and we'll help with applications if you know, they don't have it and would qualify. That's based on the family's income. There is an Medicaid insurance specifically targeting children and youth with disabilities. They the kiddos have to meet level of care, but it is based, the difference between that and Denali Kid Care is TEFRA is based on the child's income, and again, meeting that level of care. That can be tricky sometimes because you have to have supporting documentation showing it's a very deficit-based system. Almost all of our services that we access for children and youth is based on everything that they can't do, how delayed they are in relation to their typically developing peers. So, and that's something too that, you know, we spend a lot of time working with families on, you know, you kind of have to get in this, you've got to get in this mindset of how you're going to get these services. And it's not by, you know, we'd much rather have a strength-based system and focus and celebrate all the joys and all the big steps. But when we're looking for services and supports, quite often it's just the opposite. So we talk about everything that they can't do. We help families connect to either TEFRA, Denali Kid Care. If they have private insurance, that will always be the first payee. But physical therapy, OT, things of this nature. And when I speak about the importance of those, I see that as a team. I really encourage families, because it's been certainly important in my journey, to build a team around this youth. And, we're working on specific tasks and we're all on the same page. And the caller, Jerry, was talking about kids not necessarily accessing as much as they need in the schools. Supporting some of those therapies with private therapists is critical, and it's very beneficial. And again, with funding, if you have the right insurance in place, I'm sure you know, Dr. Woodard, that there's a lot of kiddos that come in that have Denali Kid Care, Medicaid, which is TEFRA is our state Medicaid, or for that qualifying, meeting that level of care.
We're in our last 5 minutes. You're listening to Line One, your health connection. If you've got questions or comments, you need to email us quickly at line1@alaskapublic.org. Our local number, 550-8433, 550-8433. And our toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752. You've mentioned military families in the beginning of the program. Perhaps we ought to mention that again. One of my questions is, why would military families have to take advantage of Stone Soup Group?
Well, I think that it's really challenging for military families who are caring for kids with special needs, because their life experience as being a military member is that you would expect that most services and support needs can be addressed on base. And really, when you've got a kid who's a little bit outside the normal developmental trajectory, that isn't the case. You need to be able to tap into the community-based services. And that was really why the feds decided to come up with this funding pool. So the families that we have some families who are accessing three healthcare systems between the military, civilian, and Indian Health Service. And mm-hmm. that can be incredibly challenging. Mm-hmm. We have families who don't realize some of the benefits that they are able to access and resources that we can provide some assistance with. I'm thinking of a family who have a daughter with very significant physical disabilities who weren't aware of the supports that they could get to help pay for a ramp for their vehicle and to provide some assistance in the home for her in terms of respite for the family. The daughter is about the same size as mom right now, and mom's been kind of mm-hmm. trying to pack her around.
Yep.
So military families need that help because they're not used to working on this side of the gate, is how we frame it sometimes.
How does a parent start the process with the Stone Soup Group?
They can make a phone call. We have an intake, a real basic kind of intake process so that they get directed to Parent Navigator to work with them based on their needs. We have walk-ins. We have referrals. We receive a lot of referrals from psychologists, from pediatricians, from educators.
I will say we often will be asked by the Office of Children's Services to work with a family. Mm-hmm. In those cases, we usually prefer that the family or the parent contact us directly mm-hmm. so that we aren't yet another part of the system trying to interject ourselves into that family's life.
But right.
And you can walk through the door, you can call, mm-hmm. you can email.
We work with foster families, grandparents raising children, bio parents, adoptive parents, families, blended families. There is no wrong family.
No.
And your local number is 561-3701.
Correct.
561-3701. Your email address I've got is www.stonesoupgroup.org.
Correct.
Okay. So let's sum up. What do we need to know? What's the message you want to make sure listeners have heard about the Stone Soup Group today?
Stone Soup is a service that's available to families across the state of Alaska, kids birth to 26. We are here to help you find the resources and supports that it's going to help make your journey down this road of raising your child to be a successful adult as easy as possible.
Barb?
You want to add?
I just think that, you know, I echo that and say that we are all about trying to help families achieve the best possible outcomes for their children, whether that's through trainings that we offer. Folks can get on our listserv and receive notifications of trainings that are coming up, but that's we're really looking for the best possible outcomes possible.
It seems to me it's not unreasonable to say everyone with children that have and adolescents special needs, it would not be wrong to make the call.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm beginning to appreciate this organization more and more.
We would not, I can't think of an instance where we would turn anybody away.
No.
But you also, if you don't have the answers, you got a good idea where the answers are.
Exactly.
We do. Mm-hmm. And we roll up our sleeves and we'll dig. And, you know, it's amazing sometimes just how we can relate just a little help in how they word something, or you know, they're stuck with a behavioral something, and maybe we've been through it, and you know, I'll say, well, here's what I, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm writing that down. Little, it doesn't have to be a major crisis for families to call us.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
561-3701. That's the Stone Soup Group. Kelly, Barbara, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a real pleasure. Kelly Donnelly is Executive Director of the Stone Soup Group, and Barbara Chambers is a parent navigator with them. Keep that number in mind, 561-3701, to share with individuals you think may benefit from touching base with them. And I appreciate their taking the time to be with us. Why don't you join us again next Monday? As you might expect, we're going to be back. And this time, we're going to do something we've never done before. I'm going to get into medical anthropology. Now, what the heck is that? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a cross-cultural, historical, and evolutionary look at how humans look at disease and healing. My guest will be Dr. Sergey Bogojavolinsky. He is an Anchorage physician, and he also teaches a course in medical anthropology at UAA. So we want to take the opportunity to learn a little bit more about how various cultures throughout the world look at disease and healing. This would be the time to do it. Monday, June 27th at 2 p.m. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Dave Waldron engineered today's program. Heather Arono manned the phones. Thanks for listening, and especially to those of you who called or emailed. I'm Dr. Thad Woodard.
Is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.